Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with my teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living, which I began on March 17th. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's Word, His promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through a developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus. The kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek Gentile. Verse 17, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written, and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We finished examining chapter 8, verse 13, when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, We're going to begin with verse 14. The Bible says, "For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Here's my comment regarding verse 14. When you receive Jesus, you become a child of the living God. You can find that in John chapter 1, verse 12. However, to be a son of God is a concept from the Oriental culture, which indicates right of inheritance. In my study of blood covenant, I found out that the majority of the inheritance was bestowed on the firstborn son to perpetuate the legacy of the father from generation to generation. As sons of God, we are his legacy from generation to generation. Amen. All right, let's read verse 15 from the Bible. It says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father." Here's my comment regarding verse 15. Now, as a result of our salvation in Jesus, we can call the living God our Heavenly Father, with all the privileges afforded to the Son of God. Let's take the time to examine some of these privileges with supporting scripture. The first inheritance is our rebirth from death into life. I would like everyone to turn to John chapter 3. We're going to read one verse, verse 3. John 3:3 says, "Jesus answered him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God." That's our first right as sons of God. We have received the rebirth from death into life. Here's the second inheritance promise. Obtain our Heavenly Father's divine nature, not living under the sin nature. We can find that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the immortal freedom that is in the world because of disruptible desire and become sharers of the divine nature." Again, our inheritance includes sharing God's divine nature. The second inheritance that we have is protection and provisions. And we can find that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. It says, "Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? For the pagans, Gentiles, eagerly seek all these things. But do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." Amen. So the third inheritance, once we receive the rebirth in Jesus Christ, is that we will be protected and provided for. Let's go to inheritance number four, Heavenly Father's guidance and correction. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We will read verses 6 through 8. This says, "For the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom he loves, and he punishes every son whom he receives and welcomes to his heart." You must submit to correction for the purpose of discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, if you are exempt from correction and without discipline, in which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate children and not sons at all. Again, our fourth inheritance is our Heavenly Father's guidance and correction. And this guidance and correction is for our good, to mature and grow in the things of God and receive the many blessings that are provided for the sons of God. The fifth inheritance that I want to share is spiritual family. That's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor." Again, our inheritance is a spiritual family based on Jesus' covenant of salvation. All right, let's move on to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Bible says, "The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God." Here's my comment regarding verse 16. It is the Holy Spirit that drew us to Christ, and once saved will teach us, if we accept his counsel, to keep us from turning back to our sinful ways. He convicts the heart of man and lovingly warns us of Satan's deceptions. Let's go on to verse 17. The Bible says, "And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance, if indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory." Here's my comment regarding verse 17. Christians are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And we share Jesus' spiritual and material inheritance. So what suffering are we asked to share? Since Jesus paid the cost of our salvation and all that pertains to life, the only suffering we share with Jesus is persecution regarding the good news. We are not called to suffer from sickness, poverty, or death. Again, Jesus made payment for it all on the cross. However, because we are the sons of the Most High God, Satan will bring persecution upon God's people. But we got the victory to keep him, his evil angels, and assignments under our feet when we are obedient to do God's word. All right, let's go on to verse number 18. The Bible says, "For I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us." Here's my comment regarding verse 18. Paul tells us that it is our faith in God's word that brings us out of the sufferings that are insignificant in comparison to the glory of our victory in Jesus. In other words, when you look back and study your victory over a situation that seemed insurmountable at the time, you can say, "Wow, thank you, Lord, for bringing me through that situation that now seems very small indeed." Amen and amen to that. All right, let's go on to verse number 19. The Bible says, "For even the whole creation, all nature, awaits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed." Here's my comment regarding verse 19. Here we are reminded of our godly responsibility to care and oversee all of nature. In the book of Genesis, God gave us dominion over his creation. Adam's sin not only affected mankind, but also the well-being of nature, the animal life and plant life. And nature knows it and is waiting for God's people to make things right the way God intended from the beginning. Let's read verse 20 from the Bible. It says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope." Let's read my comment regarding verse number 20. Nature is suffering and physically dying today because of Adam's disobedience that allowed the curse to enter into this world. It is God's people who have the authority and power to set things right. We have an obligation to pray for nature and to act responsible for all that God has entrusted to us. Amen. All right, let's read verse 21 from the Bible. It says that the creation itself will also be freed from its bondage to decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Here's my comment regarding verse 21. Nature knows that they will be set free from the bondage of death, just like mankind, as a result of man's obedience to God's word. Let's read from the Bible, verse 22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation has been moaning together as in the pains of childbirth until now." Here's my comment regarding verse 22. God's creation has an understanding of who is the creator. All that God made has life, and there is no death in God. As a result, nature yearns and desires to live in that glorious life that God created them in and to multiply after their own kind as God commanded them to do. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse 23. It says, "And not only this, but we too who have the first fruits of the Spirit, a joyful indication of the blessings to come, even we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the sign of our adoption as sons, the redemption and transformation of our body at the resurrection." Here's my comment regarding verse 23. Man and nature are both eagerly awaiting for the second coming of our Lord, when all things will be made right again forevermore. In that day, God's children will all be transformed in the body and our resurrection completed in Jesus. Yes, Lord, thank you. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse 24. Verse 24 says, "For in this hope we were saved by faith. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees?" All right, here's my comment regarding verse 24. It is our faith in God's holy word that gives us the confidence to not just hope for the second coming, but to accept the resurrection as fact based on the evidence of the Holy Bible. Because our God is not a man that he should lie to his children. For me, I am more sure of what I read in the Bible than what I hear, see, and experience in this corrupt world system that Satan controls. Let's read from the Bible, verse 25. It says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure." Here's my comment regarding verse 25. When we put our trust, faith in God's word, we can wait with patience and composure, knowing that life here on earth can be lived with great joy and abundance until that day we meet eye to eye with our Maker. All right, that concludes verse 25. Before I start with verse 26, I want to share with you that in my study Bible, there is a subtitle right above verse 26 that says, Our Victory in Christ. Our Victory in Christ. So the next few verses till the end of this chapter will deal with that topic, Our Victory in Christ. Verse 26 from the Bible says, In the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it, as we should. But the Spirit Himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. Here's my comment regarding verse 26. In this verse, we are encouraged to allow the Holy Spirit to help us in our prayer life, because there will be times when you do not know the whole situation or maybe the person you feel led to pray for. This is the right time to pray in your heavenly language and allow the Holy Spirit through your spirit or inner man to pray directly to God. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing and will assist you with the perfect prayer for the situation or person. All right, let's go on to verse number 27. The Bible says, And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. Here's my comment regarding verse 27. You may be asking yourself right now, if God knows the situation, why is he asking me to pray? Because God has given mankind dominion over this earth realm, and he needs us to give him permission to act on our behalf here on earth. We must speak in faith the promises of God over us individually, our loved ones and communities, and our world, so that his plan and purpose will manifest. Let's go on to verse number 28. The Bible says, And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Here's my comment regarding verse 28. Here is a promise from God that you never want to forget or ignore. All things work together for good for those who love our living God. Those called according to his plan and purpose are those Christians who are obedient to do his word. Don't allow delays or denials cause you stress and anguish. You claim this promise from your heavenly Father. I want to share with you an example of this situation that has happened to me. It has happened to me on many occasions, but this one right now I think is very pertinent because it has to do with something that's going on as even as we speak. I wrote a book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. And my intention was to do a self-publishing and almost a year and a half ago. But things got delayed. And shortly after our last board meeting, one of the board members said, You need to send your manuscript to Trilogy Publishing, which is a TBN subsidiary, and see what they say about the manuscript. I did, and good news, they want to publish the book. Not only do they want to publish the book, it is in the process of being published today. So I want to let you know, don't let any delays, any denials cause you stress and anguish. When I saw that it was taking longer than I had expected, I prayed. And I said, Father, your will be done with regards to this book. Once I turned it over to the Lord, I was at peace that this book would be published at the right time and that it would be a great blessing to God's people because as a minister of the gospel, our desire is to teach the word so that people will grow and be successful, be victorious, spirit, soul, and body. So be on the lookout for my new book, which I will announce when it is actually printed and available. But here is a situation that took place recently, and just like you have dreams about doing your work in the Lord or situations in your family, God knows when and where. So just stay focused on God's word, pray, and turn it over to Him. He will make sure that it is going to be done for His glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read verse 29. It says, "For those whom He foreknew and loved and chose beforehand, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, and ultimately share in His complete sanctification, so that He would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored among many believers." Oh, I'm so sorry, family. I am out of time. Please return next week as we continue our study on the Book of Romans, our guidebook for Christian living.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.